You have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. My title this morning is simply this: my boss is a Jewish carpenter. Lord. In celebration of Labor Day, I thought I'd talk about my boss. I have some of you come talk about your boss. Amen. I had one guy told me, said, I don't have a boss. I own my own business. Right. I've done all kind of stuff in my life, and I found out even if you're your own boss and you run your own business, if you don't do it like it's supposed to be done, you won't be in business long. Hello? I've seen carpenters think they could sleep till 11 o'clock and go to work and do carpenter work. It wouldn't be long. Nobody asked them to work. Hello? I had a friend that was a part-time evangelist, part-time sheetrock man. And by that, I mean he did sheetrock part-time. He preached part-time. Most of the time, he didn't do a whole lot of nothing. Hello? He's a good man. But if you got him, lined him up to do sheetrock work, he wasn't going to show up till about 5, 15, somewhere around a quarter to 11. He'd show up, and he'd get his tools out, get set up. Then he'd look at you and say, y'all eat lunch yet? He ready to go eat lunch. Then he'd come back from lunch and work 2 or 3 hours. And then if he got behind, really had to, he'd stay over that night and finish the job. And he told me one time, he said, I just don't understand why I can't get more people to let me work for them. Work is something God loves. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen. You know, Labor Day is a strange holiday. You ever notice that? It's different from all the other holidays. You know, while we call it Labor Day, nobody seems to want to work on that day. It's a day to take off, celebrate the labor we've done the rest of the year. I hadn't had anybody look at me and say, Happy Labor Day. Ain't nobody sent me a Labor Day card. I ain't got no flowers from nobody. The florist didn't figure out how to make it a holiday where they can sell flowers. They will eventually. You ever notice we got all these new days? We got Mother's Day, Mother-in-Law's Day, Grandma's Day, Father's Day, Grandpa's Day, Secretary's Day. We always got a day for somebody, and it's always you got to buy them flowers or send them a card. Get them a gift. Ain't nobody got me no Labor Day or gifts. Hello? I'm not decorating my house. I don't have to put lights up. I don't know what kind of lights you'd put up for Labor Day. Green, so you keep going. Glory. Hello? But you know, it's a bad weekend for churches because everybody wants to go somewhere on that holiday because it's the last true weekend of summer. It's what everybody calls it. Amen. We ain't even had a good summer this year, and we've already quit it. Summer's not going to be over till the 20th. That's when fall begins. 20th of September, that's when the solstice takes place. The equinox takes place, and we'll be moving into the fall season. Amen. So we're not in the fall yet, but boy, this is the last day, and everybody's going to be gone. So it's a bad day for the weekend. Labor Day's different for many people. To the factory office worker, it's a day to be off. To the police, oh, it's tough. They hate Labor Day weekend. I mean, I noticed my neighbor had to bring a car home with him to work this weekend. He normally don't work on weekends like this, but he had to dress up like a normal police officer and go out and work all weekend because they got them zero tolerance things going on this weekend. That's where if you're going 51 mile an hour and 55 miles on, they'll write you a ticket and let you pay the state and help raise money. Just so y'all know, they are out this weekend for us. Because when my neighbor goes out to work as a state trooper, they're really calling him off the rug because he don't normally do that. And he had a car this weekend, so he's working the street. That means they're all over the place writing tickets and checking for drinking and all this kind of good stuff. And they're trying to raise money for the state on Labor Day. Just so you know. Amen. To the factory workers, they get off that day. But to the farmer and the ranchers, just another day with the cattle and the work in the field. the preacher an opportunity to talk about work. Work is one of the principal themes of the Bible. Work is a very important part of God's will for his people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that they may have lack of nothing, that ye may have lack of nothing. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we commend you, exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Hello? Smile. Some of y'all said, "Wow, preacher, I can't believe you're going off on this." Well, how come you have Labor Day to celebrate labor if you don't labor? And I know there are people that can't, and I know people that, but we got some folks that just don't. I was preaching and thinking about it the other night, and I first got saved, and how everybody in the Church of God knew what we didn't, but very few people knew what we did. And most Church of God folks don't. They don't make prayer meeting. They don't work for the church. They, oh, come on, smile. It ain't going to get no better. I'll be like David Wilkerson. He's preaching the assembly of God, General Assembly, and he was preaching real hard, and it's getting quiet, and he said, "You might as well shout now. It's going to get worse." Glory. Amen. But we got some folks in the church, they won't even read the book of Job because they misunderstood the name. Glory. I had a boy tell me the other day, he said, "Well, the only way you can get a job is file on this internet." That's funny. I've got jobs all my life, and I ain't never used the internet to find one. Most people use the internet because they're afraid they're going to find one. And I understand you need to be a little picky about what you do, but let's face it, if you're hungry, you ought to work somewhere. Had a guy come up to me at one church one night, and he said, "Brother, I want you to pray for me." So I lost my job in the church. He had a real good job. He worked at the Rocket Center in Huntsville. He was some type of big-time electrical engineer. He helped invent the Patriot missile batteries. This guy knows what he's doing. He's a big-time engineer. But they laid him off instead of his boss, who couldn't do any of that. I've never understood that. And he was out there, and he told me, he said, "I want a job." I said, "What kind of job you want?" He said, "I'll take anything." I said, "Well, come on, man, let's agree together." And I took his hand, and I said, "Oh, Lord, get this guy a job on a garbage truck." And he said, "What? I don't want to work on no garbage truck." I said, "Then be honest with God. Tell him you're limiting your abilities. You want to do what you know how to do so you can earn the kind of money you earn so you can pay tithes and support the church." Hello? He looked at me sort of funny and said, "Pay tithes, support the church." I said, "Well, dude, you don't deserve to work if you ain't been paying tithes." Glory. You ever notice folks don't pay tithes, run to the preacher when they get out of stuff? "Hey, pray for me." Glory. Why y'all so quiet? I'm finna amen myself. He looked at me sort of funny. He said, "Preacher, I don't have the money to pay tithes." I said, "Dude, you got any money at all?" He said, "Well, yeah, I get a little bit of money from unemployment or whatever, and I got some money I'm using that I'm getting in. I make." I said, "Then you ought to be paying tithes on what you're getting." Some of y'all leave me and say, "Well, preacher, what happened?" "Oh, he got a job. They called him from Houston. He's working for NASA down in Houston. Went down there and gave him another job, making the same thing he's making in Houston, in Huntsville." Amen. Just opened up another job for him. When he finally decided to get right, amen, start going to an assembly of God in Houston, paying his tithes. Last time I heard from him, he's a Sunday school superintendent. Amen. Working for the Lord. But God's blessed him. Come on, church. Amen. Praise God. And you say, "Well, preachers, do you really believe God's that concerned about us working?" Listen, God's a working God. Amen. I know he likes to delegate, but he's really into work. Notice what it tells us. Genesis begins the story of how God the Father went to work drawing out the architectural plans for creation of the world. Said, in the beginning, God, wasn't anything else. He said, "Let there." And immediately things started in his mind, started popping, and things started coming into existence. He created the heavens, the earth, designed them like he wanted. Amen. Hung all the stars in every galaxy. Do you realize there's 80 to 100 billion galaxies in the universe. We belong to a galaxy called the Milky Way. Our little solar system just makes up a little minute part of it. They 200 to 400 billion stars in the Milky Way. Glory. God put it all in effect, started up and drew it in the sky. Somebody said, now, preacher, you believe he drew it in the sky? Bible even tells us something he did. Do you realize that God made the Big Dipper? He threw the stars up and put them in and made the Big Dipper. Somebody said, now, preacher, you can't prove that. Amos chapter 5, verse 8. Seek him that maketh the seven stars of Orion and turneth the shadow of death into the morning and maketh the day dark with night. That calleth for the waters of the sea to pour out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. What are you talking about? Well, Orion is nothing but the Big Dipper. Amen. He put the seven stars in order to form the Big Dipper. And guess what? If you want to find your way at night and you're trying to find your way, you take the bottom corner of the Big Dipper, you run that straight line across it. Right at the top, you're going to find the end of the Little Dipper, which is the North Star, which is going to carry you north. It's going to get you back on path anywhere you need to go. And our God understood how to put it all right where we could find it. And he designed it, stuck it up there because he's a God that believes in work. Could you say amen? Glory. Spoke it into existence. All started rocking and rolling. Amen. Why? Because God made it. God began to create it according to what he wanted, and Jesus began to make it happen according to God's plan. Somebody said, no, wait a minute, preacher. You believe that? John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was nothing, was not anything made that was made. Hello? I read to you my opening scripture. Paul repeats almost the same thing, that in him everything is made and by him everything exists. And without him there was nothing. He made. God thought it, Jesus spoke it, and it began to come into existence. Hallelujah. Glory. Somebody said, well, that's great, preacher, but is that all there is to it? No. Because see, when God did that, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said it'd get involved. Amen. Second verse of the book of Genesis. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Oh, the world was without form. Darkness was everywhere. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came. What is the Spirit of God? It is the breath of life. All of a sudden, breath of life hit this earth, and everything started coming alive. Amen. Everything started coming, getting ready. Amen. Then God reaches down, scoops up some mud, made it into the form of a man. And next thing you know, he did what? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. Amen. Can you believe that? Amen. There's the Father's idea, the Son's working, and the Holy Spirit brings it to life. Amen. And then God said, oh, we got to have some light. So he said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen. Glory. Amen. Now, church, let me give you a little philosophy here. There is no such thing as darkness. Darkness is an absence of light. Light's the created entity. As long as you got light, there is no darkness. It's when you turn the light off, you see darkness. So therefore, darkness is not a created entity. It is a result of a lack of light. I would imagine on that earth it's pretty cold too, because you see the sun not only gives us light, it brings us warmth. That's why when the sun's moving north and south, as far as the way we're turning on the earth, we have winter and summer. Because the further down from the equator it gets, the colder it gets up here. And the closer it gets back across the equator coming toward us, the hotter it gets every day. Amen. But there is no such thing as cold. Most of you are fanning right now. Because you got the created entity going on in here. It's called heat. Comes from the sun. Well, what's cold? It's a lack of that created entity. Because there is no sun to bring heat, you get cold. Hello? Somebody said, why are you doing this? Because someone asked a question the other day, who created sin? Nobody did. Sin is the absence of God. Sin is not a created entity. It is when God is absent, sin is what takes hold. Come on, church, smile at me. Some of y'all sitting there say, well, now, preacher, I got sin in my life. Then you know what you just told me? There's an absence of God somewhere in me, because that's the only way sin could exist. Come on, church, smile. Amen. You say, now, preacher, can you prove that's in this book right here? Amen. And if I read this book, I understand that sin is something God doesn't get around. So therefore, if I've got sin in my life, there's an absence of God to allow that sin to stay there. And when I get God back in my life, it disappears. Come on, church. Come on, just smile. That's good preaching. Glory. Amen. I didn't want to charge you for that. That's not even a sermon. I just run off on that one. That's one of them rabbit trails I chased for a while. Glory. Amen. But sometimes going down them trails is good for you. I don't know about y'all, but there's been times when I was hunting, I found more stuff by the rabbit trails than I ever found on what I was hunting for. Come on, church. Amen. Some of y'all ain't never been on hunting trips where you didn't get nothing. I've been on them hunting trips where you stayed all day and didn't see a thing. Then we're all some rabbit trail and there'd be. It wasn't supposed to be there, but there it was. You know the biggest deer ever shot in state Alabama was shot by accident. And the guy was in a tree stand climbing out the tree because he thought the hunt was over, and he tripped and fell. When he landed on the ground, this big deer stood up in front of him down in Greensboro, Alabama, and he unloaded on the thing, killed it, turned out to be the number one deer in the state of Alabama on a Boone and Crockett scale, and he actually got the thing was laying under his place watching him while the dogs was going by because it was using that place to hide from the dogs. Glory. Sometimes you need bells. Amen. God created Adam. What was Adam's reading? And unto Adam he said, And out of the ground the Lord formed the beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever called them, every living creature, that was their name. Amen. So Adam comes along, God gives him a job. He don't just give him out to say, okay, go ahead, you're going to live. Everything will be fine. There's going to be a bird come by and feed you every day. He said, no, take care of the garden. It'll take care of you. And I'm going to create these animals and run them by you and you name them. Amen. Y'all ever heard this? She's in the oldest profession. I love it when somebody's stupid. They'll make a statement like that, and I say, you mean she's a zookeeper? Because Adam was naming animals and keeping a zoo long before Eve ever took a breath on this world. Come on, church. I know what they're talking about, but they ain't got no sense. That's not biblical. Come on, church. Smile. That's just, I love it when they do that. It gives me an opportunity to look at them and say, hey, she was a zookeeper. And then when they say that, I get a chance to explain what I'm talking about. Amen. It opens a door. Amen. And then Adam and Eve, they got it going. He's naming animals. They're running the zoo. Everything's going good. And y'all know the story. They mess up. And God comes looking for them, can't find them. And the first sacrifice was made when he finally found them, because for the first time they realized they didn't have no clothes on. And they said, why are you hiding? We're naked. How you know you're naked? Because before then, they didn't know anything about stuff like that, right and wrong. They just lived. And God said, oh, then you've done wrong. So therefore, he killed some animals for a sacrifice, took the skins and covered them so they could live. Amen. And then he turned around and he said, but you can't stay in the garden anymore. Now notice this. He didn't curse their work. Hello? Genesis said, and Adam, he said, because you hearken unto the voice of the wife and have eaten the fruit of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of the cursed of the ground. It will be cursed as the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. For the sweat of thy face shalt be thy shalt thou eat thy bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Notice what he said. He did not curse him working. He just said, from now on your work's going to get harder. Ground's going to be harder to till. You're not going to be living in this nice fertile ground here. I'm going to put you out in the air where it's going to be hard ground. You're going to have to dig down. You're going to have to make it work. You're going to have to water the stuff. I'm not going to do it for you. You're going to have to go in there and work with the thorns and thistles and dig them out of the way. But you're still going to have to work. Come on, church. Glory. The Bible said that God rested on the seventh day after he made that. But notice something. Jesus has never rested. All through the Old Testament, we see him moving through the Old Testament. Sometimes he's called the angel of the Lord. Sometimes other references are made to him. But he is prevalent all through the Old Testament in theophanies to the people as he appeared to them and he spoke with them and communed with them. And then all of a sudden we see him as he realized that the payment's got to be made. Because you see, before this world ever came into existence, he already understood. While I'm down here talking this place into existence, I got to make this hill just outside Jerusalem. And that hill's got to be designed to look like a skull, because it's going to be called the place of the skull, Golgotha. And on that hill, they're going to crucify people, and I'm going to die there one day, but I got to make it anyway. I got to create it so it'll be there when the time comes for me to do it. Can you imagine? He speaks into existence a hill that one day he knew he was going to be crucified on. You said, now wait a minute, preacher, that's not possible. That's exactly what the Word of God said. It said that John said, I saw Jesus as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So before the first foundation of this world was ever laid, Christ understood, I'm going to die outside the city of Jerusalem on a place called Golgotha so that everybody can have everlasting life. And thank God today he is still working. Amen. He took three nails, two pieces of wood, and he made a bridge that we can walk from the gulf that separated us from God into an entity of where God can forgive our sins and bring us to eternal life in him. And because of that, that God that spoke the world into existence loved us so much that he laid down his life, that through that life we can have life and have it everlasting. Could you say amen? And he's still working today to save souls. See, Jesus worked in the carpenter shop while he was on the earth. You say, how you know that? Well, his dad on the earth was a carpenter. And I just can't see you coming up in the family and not working in the family business. Hello? That's why I get it when these guys talk about Jesus coming into the temple and they were selling stuff and they were trying to figure out why people didn't try to confront him. Y'all see these emaciated pictures, some little scrawny hippie, little T-bit arms. That's not possible if he was a carpenter. If he worked it all in his daddy's shop, he had some pythons on him. Come on, church. Anybody that's ever worked with unkilled dried lumber understands a 2x4 8-foot long will weigh 100 pounds. And he's working with unkilled dried lumber, cutting it and hewing it, and everything was done by hand. They sawed everything by hand. They planed everything by hand. They sanded everything by hand. So everything he's doing is with his hands. Not only that, carpenters actually were also stonemasons. When they built a house, they laid the stone that went in the house. I mean, they did all the work that went with it. Here you got a guy that's been working, doing stuff like this all of his life, hewing and digging and chopping and chiseling and doing all that kind of work. He got some pythons on him. So when he went in there and started flipping tables, you know, emaciated a little monk over there doing, hey, you better leave me alone. There's a bad dude standing there. That's why nobody jumped up and got in his face. Come on, church. Some of y'all say, preacher, you're crazy. Look, if some scrawny, half starved to death dude comes through the back door and challenges y'all, I might get in his face and help y'all get him out of this building. But if the rock comes through, talking about he finna whoop somebody, mainly the preacher, I'm going through this door and y'all on your own. Glory. Smile. I see some of you right now preaching. That's not no way to be. He is if you want to live. You know the one thing I'm noted for? I have a lot of guys in Cleveland stuff that say, you know what I like about Stroop? He's a survivor. Glory. That means I don't get in stuff I can't get out of, and I think quick on my feet to keep getting in trouble. I love my wife and my kids. And I've heard guys say, I'd take a bullet for them. I've told Frida, don't bank on that. I hope I can, but I'm not going to stand here and lie to you like other guys will. If the survival instinct kicks in, I'm gone. Glory. See, I got something like, I'd take a bullet for my wife. If somebody put a gun to your head, you might talk a little different, and I'm not going to ask her to depend on me. She run fast as I can. She wants out. She can leave before me. Oh, I hope I could do it, and I hope I would, but I'm not going to guarantee it because I don't know what's going to happen if some guy pulls a gun on us. I know what happened in time past. I'm not as fast as I used to be, but I can get pretty close. Glory. Hello? Get inspired, somebody trying to kill you. But you know, they also, I think they made yokes, because see, yokes back then were made out of wood. So carpenters would have hewed out yokes. And maybe Jesus understood what a good yoke was all about when he looked at the people and saw them enamored with all the things that were being thrown on them by the priest who weren't even trying to live that way themselves. You ever notice you got folks who want everybody to live a certain way, but they won't even do it themselves? And them priests was telling them all the things they had to do and all the rituals they had to go through. And Jesus says in the 11th chapter of Matthew, "Come unto me, all you that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Amen. Jesus said, "I got the kind of yoke that won't put sores on you and be tied around your neck. It'll fit you. It'll make you work, and it won't be hard to deal with." Come on, church. Somebody said, "Religion's nothing but rules." No, it's not. The closer you get to God, the freer you'll be. Glory. Come on, church. Oh, I ought to get a big amen on that. The closer you get to God, the freer you are of everything. Why? Because you don't want to do the things you ain't supposed to do, so you don't realize there's rules there. Come on, church. That's good stuff. Amen. Jesus is still building. Jesus made a statement, and I'm going to close in just a minute. I know it's 12 o'clock. It's a quarter till. I still got my favorite watch, y'all. Glory. Y'all don't know the trouble I went through to get this fixed when it broke. Buddy of mine actually cut the link and put it back together and built it back so it'd go in there so I wouldn't have to get rid of my watch. Glory. He said, "Is it that important?" I said, "Oh, yes." That's my preaching watch. Glory. Jesus was getting ready to leave. He made a statement. Now, you and I read it. We don't really think that much about it. Some get excited about it, but they don't really understand why. But in the gist of a Jewish wedding, I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but contracts were signed a year before they were allowed to be married. And when they signed that contract, they were as good as married. It was called to be espoused. Mary and Joseph were espoused when she was found to have child. It meant they were actually supposed to be married. They just had not consummated the marriage. And he was supposed to be preparing a place for her. But they'd get over there and they'd cut the deal. And they put that whole contract together. And it was as if they were married, but they weren't living together yet. The young man then would go and build a place for her to live, either add on to his father's house or build a new house. But when he would walk out the door, the last thing that young man would say to his new bride that he was going to come back in a year or so and pick up, he'd say, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." And Jesus in John chapter 14 made this statement. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And every Jew that heard that understood what he was saying. I am the bridegroom, and I'm going to create a place for the bride. And as soon as I get it made, I'm coming back, and I'm going to take you to be with me in that place where we're going. Oh, come on, church. Some of y'all missing it. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm looking to the fact that Jesus Christ is still building a place up there called heaven. He's working on a mansion just for me. Amen. And when I get to the place that I'm ready to go, he's going to step out on the clouds of glory, and the trump of God's going to sound, and those that are looking for him, those that are prepared for him, are going to be called up to be with the Lord in the air. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. And the seventh day is going to start. And we're going to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb during that 7 day. Hallelujah. Then the millennial reign is going to take place. Then we're going to be here forever and forever and forever and forever. Glory. And I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but he is building a place for us to live that is so mobile that eventually he's going to put it on the new earth. Hello? Oh, I just blew some of your mind. Y'all ain't read the Bible? For there was a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending out of the heavens as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard the voice of God saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is now with man, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And it's going to set out on this earth. Oh, come on, church. God's not quit his plan. His plan included this to happen all along. He's still working his plan. How do you think it's an accident that if you were to measure out the Garden of Eden that is 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles long, and if you get that cube and put it down there and you set the earth down, heaven is going to be 1,500 miles cubed with a 1,500 mile stretch going up like a high rise off the earth, and that New Jerusalem going to sit down right over the top of what at one time was the Garden of Eden, and then we're going to subdue this earth and rule and reign with him forever and forever and forever and forever according to the word of God. Could you... Glory. Stand with me all over the house. Glory. He's preparing a home for believers. We're getting ready to go there. Church, every week we see something else happening. Makes us, if you study scripture, every week we watch the news, there's something else taking place to make you go, whoa, we're getting closer. The trump of God's going to sound. I've had people tell me, say, preacher, I'm nowhere near going to die. Nobody in this building knows when you're going to die. Last week when the news went out about Christian McGarity, nobody thought about a 36-year-old guy having a massive heart attack. But it happened. None of us knows when today is going to be the last day or this breath is going to be the last breath we're going to take. And for that reason, we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're ready. There is no place to get rid of your sin after you die. It is appointed unto man once to live and to die and then judgment. And how you live in this world is how you're going to fit into the plan of God for eternity. We're so close to the coming of the Lord. We're so close to the trump of God sounding. There may be people under the sound of my voice that you'll never leave this world by natural death. You'll just be walking along one day, you're going to be gone. Or you're going to be left. Because he's coming back. The angels told the disciples that day, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who you see taken away is going to come again in the clouds having power and great glory. He's coming for those that are looking for him, those that are ready. He's coming for those that are working for him. They're in the fields doing something. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute, preacher, I never read that in the scripture. If you're where you need to be with God, that's going to be the first thing you think about. Is helping others and working with others and reaching others. That's what we're here for. Father, I thank you today, God, for your love, for your mercy. I ask God that you would reach down, touch us with your love, minister to us with your power. Touch us with your glory today, Father. Let your spirit fall in this house. Lord, give us a spirit to work for you like never before. Master, in Jesus' name.